Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. Warning. The show.
Yes, all right. Okay, and hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going live right now. Oh, I'm so glad that you all are joining us tonight. We've got a very good show planned for you this evening. I am so happy and so excited that you all took this opportunity to stop by here and join with us. I'm just waiting for my co-host to log in to tonight's broadcast, and they will, of course, press one. I am so grateful that many of you all have joined us tonight. I'm excited about that. I just can't be even any more excited than I am for these weekly broadcasts. If you did not hear last night's broadcast, you missed a treat. You really, really missed a treat. And you will want to go into the archives at drjessewalker.com. You want to go there and you want to tune into the show. So please go into the archives and catch that show. Please do. I think you'll enjoy last night's show. And, of course, you can always send me an email or something that, hey, you want to catch the archives. Or even if you all have a topic that you would like to do for us to present over the air, please, by all means, send us an email. Send us something out there, and we will be more than happy to entertain that for you. Tonight's topic is a very deep one, and we're going to certainly be addressing some issues here. Tonight's topic is, of course, does having a personal relationship with God mean that we can ask him questions? This is a real, real deep one. You know, does having a personal relationship with God mean that we can ask him questions? You know, when you have a parent, you want to communicate with your parent. That's what it's all about, communicating, especially when you're of age that you can communicate, that you of age of some reasoning, that you can talk to your parents. You can tell them what's wrong. That's the reason, and one of the reasons for having a parent, the parent has lived longer than you, and they have some experience, and they have some training, some knowledge on what it is to be a parent. And so as such, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, let me share with my child. I want to protect my child. I want to make sure that my child is happy. I want to make sure that my child is healthy. You know, and I want to, in some cases, I want to grant them the desires of their heart. That's what I want to be able to do. I want to grant my children the desires of their heart, and that's what parenting can certainly be all about. So when we talk tonight and we are asking that question, does having a relationship with God mean that I can ask him questions? And we're talking about a personal relationship. Let me go ahead and bring in my co-host for the evening, Lady C. It's a pleasure. I was nervous there for a moment. It's a pleasure to have you here with us this evening, and welcome.
I'm having issues.
Hey, y'all. How are you guys?
We're doing just great.
Well, that's good. I was blocked by one of Walmart's big, heavy carts, so I had to go and get an associate to come move it. But I didn't understand
okay, well,
why they blocked my car.
Okay, I'm glad that you're safe. That's the important thing. I'm so glad that you are safe. Okay. Tonight's topic is, and I won't stay with you too long. I want you to get into an area where you are safe and you can certainly make a contribution because it sounds like you're probably driving. I want you to be safe out there. That's first and foremost.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
You've already said hello. I'm going to continue to talk, and I will come back to you, you know, after a while. All right,
okay.
So what we're saying, you know, to have a personal relationship with God, you know, personal. When you know, oftentimes we talk about religiosity, we're talking about things where it's like, well, my relationship with God is my relationship with God. It's personal. It's personal. And so personal means it's not everybody else's business. If this is my personal space, then why should you invade my personal space? When we talk about your personal, your private, your relationship is how you communicate with God. That's nobody else's business. We might look at David in the scriptures and say, how could God possibly have said that David was a man after his own heart? Well, we learn in the Bible that David had a personal relationship with God. David had a line of communication with God that was, he was always in communication with God. Even though David did some things that are questionable, and then we look and say, God says, this is a man after my own heart. What does that mean? It was so personal. It was so personal that it's like, wow, that was between him and God. And that goes for all of us. That when we talk about, well, this is a personal relationship. It's just like a man and a woman in a marriage. In a marriage. What goes on with that man and that woman in that marriage? Personal. And it's sacred. It's personal and it's sacred. And that's not everybody's business. That's not everybody's business. And people want to pry into a couple's marriage. They want to pry into that when that's sacred and it's personal. You know, and to me, it's the same with God. My relationship with God is personal. It's not anybody else's business. It's how, you know, so when people start judging you, because all of us could probably look and say at David and say, wow, I don't see how God could call him a man after his own heart. David was like strange. David did some unscrupulous things. And God said that about him. But guess what? The relationship that David had with God was a personal relationship. Let's look at Abraham. Abraham had a personal relationship with God. God established it was so personal that God established a covenant with Abraham. A covenant with Abraham. You know, that his seed would be numbered like the sand on the seashore. And God would bless him. I mean, that's some deep stuff. That's some deep stuff. And when you look at both these men, David and Abraham, they were not perfect men. We know that David put his the wife of a woman that he wanted, her husband, put him on his front lines and knowing that that man would likely be killed. David put him out there. And then you look at Abraham. Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife. Abraham, Sarah gave him her maidservant, and the woman had a baby with him. These were not perfect men, but they had personal relationships with God. Let me see, Lady C, are you still driving?
Yes, I'm still driving, but I have surround sound, well, Bluetooth.
Okay, good.
My phone is connected to my car.
Oh, excellent. So, Lady C, let me ask you, Is your relationship with God, your personal relationship with God, is it really my business? Or otherwise, why would it be personal?
Is it really your business? I think my relationship with God is mainly personal with my business. But I think it's everybody's business, technically, because sometimes God will use me to connect to other people. So if God used me to connect to you and give you a word or just say something to you that he needs, use me for any reason, if God using me, then, and I'm talking to you now, it becomes your business. So technically, it's everybody's business.
All right. Okay. If God used you as a tool for his purpose, then I can see where whatever he commissioned you to do becomes somebody else's business. But when you're asking God even for forgiveness, isn't that between you and God? Because no man or woman can forgive you. Is that right?
Yes, that's between me and God.
Mm-hmm. So
you know,
is that
me? Like,
go ahead.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
Yes, because my personal relationship is based on the conversations I have with God and my heart alignment with God.
Okay. So then, I mean, if it was other people's business, generally speaking, would there be a need for it to be identified as personal, a personal relationship with God? Would there be a need for that?
No, only because I would be living for people and not God.
Absolutely. We want to hear from you all out there. I want to know what your thoughts are in terms of your personal. Is your personal relationship with God your personal relationship, or is it for other people to know? And then also, you know, Lady C, having that, does it mean that you can ask God questions if you have a personal relationship with him?
Oh, yes, of course. I be asking God questions all the time. Sometimes I be having debates with God. Sometimes I ask God, why am I going through this, God? Like, yes.
Wow.
You know, when you have a personal relationship with God, you are literally having a lot of one-on-ones with God, and that's me. I have a lot of one-on-ones, and sometimes I have to go in the battle and be like, listen, God, I don't know why I'm in this situation, but I need you to help me out. I've been praying for you to remove it away from my life, and you're just not doing it, you know?
Right. Uh-huh.
And then I start quoting scriptures, you know, letting him know, hey, God, you said anything I ask for, it should be given to me, but you ain't giving me what I need right now, you know?
Uh-huh. Right. That's a very good, you know, Lady P, that's a very good point, because I've learned to do that throughout my life, is to put God's word back to him. You know, we want to hear from you all out there. If you have a thought about tonight's topic, press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear from you out there, and let us know what your thoughts are. You know, should you be able to to ask our question. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 770-703. Welcome to the show tonight. And who do we have?
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hi, Lady C. This is Jeanette.
Jeanette, thank you for joining us this evening. Jeanette, I mean, this gets a little deep, you know, because we're talking about something personal. You know, so Jeanette, oftentimes if you have a guest over to your house and you have an audience of people, and let's say this guest name is Jack. Let's call him Jack. All right? And
okay.
So Jeanette, even though you have a house full of guests, but now you want to tell Jack something personal, you know, I mean, do you make this announcement out loud so all the people can hear you, or how do you approach that with a house full of people?
To me, personally, it's just that what it means. Most likely, I would, you know, pull Jack aside or alone and I will tell him what I need to tell him. If it doesn't concern others, they don't need to know. So not unless it was meant for me to tell others, but it was meant for me to tell Jack, that's who I'll tell.
Okay, so and if it was personal, that's how you would do it. But if it was public, you can do it openly with everybody else. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right.
If it was meant for me to tell it publicly, yes.
Right. So when you have, when you're told that we have to have a, develop or establish a personal relationship with God, what does that mean to you, a personal relationship? Does that mean that we tell everybody else what our business is before God? Can we confess our sins publicly like that?
No. My personal, I do have a personal relationship with God, and that's between me and my God. And if my God wants me to express something to others, that's when I will, they won't know about my relationship with him, but I will let them know what I need to express to them through my God, from my God, however I need to say it.
All right. So in that case, Jeanette, let me ask you this question. So in a case like that or a situation like that, when you have your personal relationship with God, if I look at you, let's just say you're coming to church and you got on this outfit that I feel is provocative to men, and I'm holier than thou. I mean, and I'm looking, I'm saying, well, Deaconess Jeanette, I don't think that your outfit is appropriate to come into the house of God and worship. I just feel that, you got this dress down to your knees, but I want the dress, I feel appropriate that you, as a deaconess in the church, your dress needs to be down to your ankles, not just below your knees. So how do you feel about that? And remember now, I may be the head deacon, but you're a deaconess, and I'm so righteous and holy coming to you like that. How do you deal with that?
Number one, I think it's wrong for the man, the deacon, to come to me. He could, he could pass it on to the first lady or another deaconess. You know, it's not his position. It's not him to come to me that way. But if I am in appropriate dress and a deaconess or the first lady come to me, you know, I would take it at heed, and, you know, if she feels it's inappropriate, it might be the only thing I had, come as you are, but, you know, I don't want to, you know. So I would, probably would go home.
Wow, that is interesting. That is interesting. Wow. So you would accept that if it were the first lady coming to you or the one of the other deaconess. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I mean, if that was the only, I mean, I'm not a confrontatious person. And maybe they saw what I didn't see, that it was too tight really, or really, really too short. And if they come to me in a nice way and say something, you know, I would look at it. And if I thought it was wrong, you know,
okay.
I don't know, because right. Honestly, sometimes people have on things that they don't realize it's really too tight. You're showing your undies or whatever, and, you know, they might not be aware.
Wow.
So.
We're going to ask you to pause a moment. I got to invite God into this programming tonight because we're getting ready to get deep. Father in heaven, we thank you for all of your blessings. We invite you into this program tonight and help it to be edifying for all of us. These and other blessings we thank in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lady C, I got to bring you in here, because if I'm that self-righteous deacon and I'm able to tell her this and I expect her to listen to me, now the next week she wears a hat that I just don't like that color. So now, Lady C, I'm going to her again, and this time it's you, Lady C. I'm saying, Lady C, as one of the head ushers in here, I don't think that color you're wearing is appropriate for the church setting, you know. So I think instead of you wearing a yellow hat, you probably would be more, it would be more appealing if you wore a white hat, because, you know, white signifies purity. So I can't understand why you got on a yellow hat. So please, I think that you should come to church looking more holy. Lady C, what do you tell me?
For one, that color hat does not determine if I'm holy or not. God does. You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I feel like when it comes to the way I'm just trying to park. And somebody got the door all the way open.
Okay.
When it comes to the way I dress, if I was working for the church, yes, I would dress more modesty, more professional, you know. But if I'm just someone just attending the church and you're telling me what I'm wearing is just inappropriate all the time, no, I'm going to politely say something about it. Because, you know, I got to come as I am. You can't judge me. And I'm going to politely probably express my feelings of telling him, you know, you're not God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm dressed in kind of way, maybe this is not the church for me.
Okay, so now everybody, you know, I got this attitude. I'm the head deacon in the church, and I expect the women to fall in line. I'm saying to you that I want to see you in a white hat instead of, I'm trying to hold mine because I know, ladies, you about to stab me over there. So I'm coming
me
to
too.
You and I'm saying, listen, you need to just, listen, get over yourself and just wear a white hat. And I'm done with that, okay? Now, Lady C, what do you say? What do you say?
Like I said before, I am more of, I come as
come
I
on,
am.
Come on, Lady C, come on.
What
don't hold
if,
it in. Come on, don't Lady C,
in.
Tell me.
I
Lady
mean,
C, tell me.
I come as I am. So if my hat is constantly bothering someone, then I don't need to attend that church because it's a hat.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, I'm a type of person that I go to, listen, I'm going to be real. I go to church in leggings with a cute top on. If I have a spaghetti strap shirt and I have something that looks cute, a spaghetti strap dress, I'm going to wear it to church. You know?
Okay. All right. Okay.
As long as
all
it
right.
looks nice on
all
me,
right.
I'm wearing it. Because that's the church I like to attend, you know. But I have gone to churches here where I live at, I felt like I was judged because I had on leggings and I had on a long shirt and I had on some cute boots. I mean, it was super cute. The sleeves on the shirt was long. The shirt came down to my mid thigh, but I had on leggings up under it and some cute boots. I wear it all
right.
the time, you know.
Right.
But it was like the ladies in the church was looking at me like I was crazy. But you know what? I realized that wasn't the church I was going to. And that wasn't my church. That was my sister's church. And I told my sister, I can't go there because you know what? They're so busy gossiping and focusing on me that they can't even hear what the pastor is saying.
Now see, Lady C, right there, I'm the head deacon again. I'm back in that role of the head deacon. You're coming there to this. You know exactly what you're doing because you're coming there to distract the men, especially the married men. So the ladies in the church, they are aware of this here and saying, how dare she come and distract our husbands who are in their 90s already. So
I think if they husband, I don't got control of the flesh, okay? I could be as beautiful, I could be light-skinned with a beautiful green eye. I could be a Rihanna, okay, the singer Rihanna and Beyonce. But the thing is, I could be dressing in some regular Timbos with some regular jeans. If I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. That flesh going to cause regardless. That's an inner problem, not an outer problem. That means they have something wrong with the inside of themselves that's causing that fleshly need.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second, Lady C. We want to hear from you all out there. Press 1. Jeanette, let me go back to you now. I'm that head deacon again, and I'm saying, Sister Jeanette, I'm coming to you now and saying, you know, listen, you know, do you think that you're representing Christ well in this church? And you're telling me that isn't my relationship with Christ personal? But I'm saying you're coming in here with these leggings on And these men who are on oxygen, they're already on oxygen, and they see you coming in here looking like this, and their wives have been wearing dresses down to their feet, and you come in here with these leggings on. Now, come on, Jeanette. And these men, do you want to be responsible for causing cardiac arrest in the church?
You know, I still have a problem with the deacon coming to me.
Right.
That man. And then the way Lady C says she's dressed, there's no problem with that. You know, that's the appropriate dress. You know, color and dress like that, that's fine. But when you were talking about like a short attire, I remember this was this young girl. She sat in the choir on the front row. Her dress was so short, and she was there, and it was very distracting. And the first lady did approach her with the scarf, whatever that thing is that they put on your lap, and told her to put, which was appropriate. I mean, you got the men in this corner, the men jumping to the front row, and that was very distracting. But she was offended, and matter of fact, they stopped going to the church because she thought that the first lady should not approach her. But the first lady was very nice, but she's trying to tell her, you're sitting on the front row, your dress is too short. Now, that's distracting. It really is. You shouldn't do that. But coming dressed in leggings or whatever color hat or whatever, I mean, really. That has nothing to do with serving the Lord.
But Deaconess Jeanette, Deaconess, we're back in the church, Deaconess Jeanette, but wasn't that young lady's relationship with God, did that have anything to do with her relationship with God, her personal relationship with God, you know, or you know, was it an insecurity that the women may have had, but maybe a delight for the men? I mean, how do you talk about that?
It interfered with the man's personal relationship with God during that time. Because
but how do you know these are men in the church. These are the holy brothers and holy men in the church. Do you think they're gonna be looking at a short skirt? You're not a man. How would you know? How would you know?
As a woman, we was looking, we like, oh my God, you know. You know, everybody wanted to go up and tell her. Not only, you know, she was, you know, she didn't sit with her legs together. So everybody wanted to tell her, you know. And she was a young girl.
So you're kind of like judging her. But isn't
no,
that
that's
judging?
Not judging. You don't, you know, that's not appropriate to sit in the front
but who's
of
to
a
say
church
what's
and
appropriate?
Everybody is looking at you.
Well, who's
that's
to say what's
appropriate?
Isn't that about... If that's all that young lady had, I mean, you know, and all of a sudden now, because you approached her, she stopped coming to church.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. But she should not have been offended. She should have said thank you, because who wants somebody to be gazing at them and you trying to listen to the minister and everybody not even paying attention to the minister? They're looking at you. They're distracted.
Oh my goodness.
You know, sometimes some dress is not appropriate. And it can be distracted and it needs to be addressed.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight's question is, does having a personal relationship with God mean I can ask him questions? Or do we get off into being holier than thou that we can judge other people because the young lady had on a short skirt? And maybe that was all she had at the time. And she sat on the front row. And because you got some women who are perhaps insecure because their husbands are on oxygen tanks and they're looking at this young woman, I mean, is it really about that? Let's go to 919-272. Who do we have and welcome?
Yes, this is Christy. How's everybody doing this evening?
Doing good, Christy. Help us make sense, Christy. I mean, does having a personal relationship with God mean that it's personal?
Of course it's personal, because first of all, a church cannot save any of us. It all depends on our personal individual relationship, because God will judge each one of us individually. We will not be judged as a church or a group or anything. And in reference to this young lady, if she seriously... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay.
Yes.
If she seriously had a sincere relationship with her Lord and Savior, and I'm not judging, but if she seriously had a relationship with her Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that, you know, when we're coming into his presence, which means the church or wherever, we are supposed to dress modest, okay? So if you
it says that in Scripture, Christy, it says that in Scripture? It says dress moderately?
Yes, it is somewhere. Yes, that we should come into God's house. So if that's the case, should a person, I mean, yes, the Lord says come as you are, but that's someone coming off the street just straggling in, okay? Now, if a drunk comes in, yes, you are supposed to treat him, you know, with kindness. But,
right. Yes,
we're supposed to come into God's house with presence. We don't come to God's house any kind of way. We just don't.
But what if that's all that young lady had to wear, if everything else was dirty? Christy?
Okay. Well, you know what? If she needed something else, I'm sure she could have asked someone else or whatever, because that is definitely a distraction, coming to church with some things on. Some things are not suitable to come into God's house. It's just not appropriate.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Just as the other lady said, it is not appropriate. And
wow.
You're drawing attention. People come to church to listen to the word but you should not come to any, to no one should come to a church where they want to be the center of attraction, okay, because of what they are wearing. Then their motive is wrong.
All right. Christy, we're gonna ask you to stand by. We got everyone here tonight. Lady C, I got to bring you back in here because, you know, how can we say their motive is wrong when that person is just going to church? I mean, it's like, why that old lady over there got to bother me? She needs to be over there attending to her husband who's on oxygen. Why she got to be all up in my business? My business is personal with God. Lady C, come on.
I agree. I agree with some things, but I disagree with some, too. I feel like, you know, if you do wear a short dress, don't sit on the front row. You know, sit in the middle, sit in the back. You know, those short dresses do be enticing to some men. You know, I mean, if the women looking, you know the men are looking, okay? But I feel like when it comes to a woman and what she wears, I don't think y'all should care about what she wear. You know what I'm saying? Only because that could be her only outfit she got or the type of clothing she wears anyway. Because, every church I've attended, you come as you are. You can wear those little short dresses. We don't care. You know? We don't care because you know why? We here for God, not for her. You know? But, like me, I'm not going to want to go to church and have somebody tell me what to wear when it comes to how I dress. Although I do not dress inappropriately. And if I did dress inappropriately, I know I'm going to be smart enough to not to sit in on the front row.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. You know, if you're just joining us tonight, once again, tonight's topic is, does having a personal relationship with God mean I can ask him questions? We're going to take some of the scenarios that are already coming into the studio. And Jeanette, I mean, just as we think about this here now, I mean, could it be that there are so many rules and regulations that man has established that it almost makes you feel like, you know, somebody might come to the church and say, well, you know, whoever the speaker is for the hour, well, God has certainly impressed upon my heart to let you all know the message today that every one of you all should stop eating meat of any kind because God gave us greens, vegetables to eat. And if you're eating meat, it can be sinful. So, Sister Jeanette, here now, I mean, it's like, wow, what do you say? And, I mean, I can preach that minister preaches that, and he preaches it to a point where you feel so guilty. Does that infringe on your personal relationship with God? Because God didn't tell you that. But the minister says God told him to tell you.
No, me personally, that does not infringe on my relationship with God because I read my Bible and I get my relationship with God. I go to church to hear the word from the pastor, but that do not change what I have read and my relationship with God. That might be his relationship with him.
Okay, but he just said
I'm
that God told him to tell you that.
Huh?
He said that God told him to tell you that.
God didn't tell me that. I would pray on stuff like that. So God with the church, and that's what the preacher said. But I'm sure God wouldn't tell me that because that's crazy. That's his choice.
So now I'm that preacher, and I'm saying, Sister Jeanette, I'm coming to your. I want to come by and see you after the service today, and perhaps me and the First Lady will sit and have a meal with you all. And then all of a sudden you say, well, Pastor, I have fried chicken and chitlins in at home, and he says, I don't think you should be eating that, because didn't you hear my sermon today? What do you say? Now this is the pastor.
I said, yes, I heard your sermon, but this is my choice, Pastor, with all due respect, and that is something that I enjoy eating. You know,
so,
I'm not going to be dictated to because you are up there.
Are you still telling the pastor you're not going to be dictated to?
No, I would tell him that, you know, I appreciate that, you know, what he's saying, but this is something that I like. So I would not change what I like simply because man told me.
Well,
and I can read for myself. I can research stuff for myself. I don't need man to tell me this. I can pray on all this stuff myself. So, you know, just because this man told me, because he's not God. He's not the one I have my relationship with.
But
no.
You say you going to church to get the word, and the pastor just gave you the word.
And like I said, after he gave it to me, I get his little scripture, and this is what I actually do. I get his scripture and what he said, and I go home and read what he talked about and read that scripture for myself to see whether
Sister
that's the same interpretation I get.
Do you really do that? You go home?
Yes, I do. I might not do it that day, but I write it down, and whenever I go to go and read, I say, okay, this is what the preacher read about or talked about. Let me see whether I really understand it like he said it.
Okay. We're gonna ask you to stand by. I mean, listen. Because we laugh on the show, we don't take it that it's lightly, that it's not serious. This show is about education and informational purposes only, and basically to get you doing what Sister Jeanette is doing here: study to show thyself approved. See if this is what you believe. You know, not allowing somebody to dictate to you. Chrissy, I want to bring you back in. Then we're gonna go to phone lines 856-316. Thank you for your patience. We're going to ask you to stand by. We want to hear from the rest of you all out there as well. Chrissy, let me bring you back in. That pastor says the same thing to you. I got a word that I don't want you all eating any meat in this church family. I don't want anybody eating any more meat in this church. You know, so when you go home, you spend $200 putting a lot of meat in your freezer. I want you to throw that out. Because of the word today. Throw it out. So, Chrissy, what do you do?
People cannot be, listen, he's just a man, as she just said. He's just a man. You have to be converted through the Holy Spirit to want to make changes in your life. He cannot just openly just, he could say that, but that doesn't mean that that's going to change people's hearts. They have to be converted as they read God's word themselves. And if they choose to, you know, give up meat or whatever they might be eating, then that's their choice. But if they choose not to, but they have to be converted themselves. Just because, as she just stated, if that's his choice, then that's his choice. But they have to be led by the Holy Spirit to be converted themselves. And, hey, by reading God's word, that's the only way you become changed. Is by reading
and
his word.
And I certainly agree with that.
And you can't just listen to what a man says.
Uh-huh. But he says he's a man of God, Christy.
Okay, but he's still just a man. That's it. A lot of people profess to be men and women of God, but does that really make them? I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm just saying, I'm not judging him. But again,
right.
We have to read God's word for ourselves. As the sister said, she writes it down and go home and study it. And, hey, see if he's in line in what God's word says, because God's word doesn't change at all. And they have to be converted to want to make whatever change it is that they need to make based on God's word, not on man's word. Man didn't create anything.
Right. So, Christy, as the pastor of this church, I'm telling everybody in here now, do not bring meat on these grounds. You know, so y'all find something else when you want to have your after-church dinners and everything. How do you deal with that, Christy?
Okay, well, I guess if they have a problem with it, then they got to go to the pastor, or if they have a church board, then they got to come to some kind of compromise. Now, a lot of churches don't want you to bring meat per se, maybe on the premises of the church. Now, that's different, but to tell them not to eat it, you know, that's their choice. But if they say, hey, we don't want, but I'm sure it can't just be maybe coming from him. They should have some kind of committee that has come up, you know, with that. And if they had a problem, like the Bible says, if you have a problem with a brother or sister, you go to that brother and sister in person. So whether it's a pastor or whomever, then they go to him in person and explain, hey, this is my feelings about that. And if he's a man of God, but again, that's the church, that a committee within the church that, you know, they would have to maybe come to.
All right. If you're a Christian, we're going to ask you to stand by. If you're just joining us, of course, tonight, we've got a live one. Tonight's topic is, does having a personal relationship with God mean I can ask him questions? Let's go to the phone lines once again. Thank you for your patience. After this, we'll go to 347-740, which is Monica, my other co-host, will be coming in shortly. Let's go to 856-316. Welcome to the show tonight, and thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hi, everyone. This is Deborah. I just been listening, and I think her name is Christy that was talking before me. Kind of agree with her. In a personal relationship, you have to be careful about cults, and when you're in a church and it's cult, because if the pastor is saying that you have to do, you know, something that I'm saying, then I don't agree with that. I know that my pastor always says, read the word for yourself. I could be wrong. And if I am wrong, then bring it to me. But just don't go by what I say. Read the word for yourself. So if it's a pastor who's saying, you know, don't eat meat, and I can understand if I'm like her, if it's a committee says, okay, we're not going to bring meat in the church, I can respect that. But not telling me what I can eat and what I can't. I thank God because I do have a personal relationship with him because he does talk with me. And this Holy Spirit is supposed to lead you to all truth. So if you're in church and the pastor is saying something and it grieves your spirit or it doesn't agree with you spirit to spirit, then you need to go home and study that. And that's what I've always done. If it's something, they've said something, I'm like, I don't know about that one. Then I go and study the word for myself, because the only way you're going to get the understanding is through God, and that's studying the word for yourself. So that's how I feel about it.
And Deborah, thank you so much for sharing that with us, because that's interesting, and it sounds like you and Christy are in line with each other with what you're saying about that. And just before, I want to ask you this, and then I'm going to bring Monica in, and we'll get back to our other callers in a moment, as well as some of the scenarios that have come in. When you mentioned personal relationship, what does that really mean for our audience tonight? Personal relationship with God. It's like, is it just really about you and God?
Yes,
when we're all God's children?
It's about your relationship with him. God meets you in the place that you are at, and then you grow from that. And so it has to be, because where I am may not be where you are. You may be ahead of me, you know, in your relationship with him or in your knowledge of him. You may be further ahead with me. So God meets me at a place that I am with him. And then we establish a relationship, and we grow that way with me and him. So it has to be a person. My relationship with God is not like your relationship with God. It is me and his relationship and what he have me to do. For whom much is given, much is required. So that shows that we all don't have the same relationship. because not everything what's required of you may not be required of me. So it's got to start with a relationship, just you and him. That's it.
Okay, so in that case, Deborah, so I'm going to put myself in the role of this pastor again, you know, the scenario here. I'm this pastor, but I'm so demanding and dictatorial now because I used to be this gangster out here. I used to be this drug dealer out here. I used to be this drug addict out here. I used to be a life of crime, spent so many years in prison even, and I became reformed, so whatever that is, through a jail ministry. Now all of a sudden, I got this church and this following, and I just expect you all, because I'm dictatorial, I expect you all to just conform to the rules that I put out here. And so now that I no longer think about my past, but now we've got this 19-year-old little, and I'm, this is, of course, a hypothetical, you all, this 19-year-old, and I'm looking at him as a thug, and I'm preaching a sermon directed towards him because I want him to feel bad about the life I assume he's living, you know? So am I right to do that? Or the young man is coming to church because his grandmother's been praying for him to just show up, and now he comes in there with his bandana on his head, and I know what that represents, and I'm preaching this sermon targeting him to try to make him feel guilty, to force him into religion. Am I right for that, Deborah?
Now, I and Dr. Walker, I honestly could not sit up under a pastor like that. That's just me. I just could not sit up under a pastor like that. Just preach the word. The word says God's word won't come back void. And all you have to do is preach the word. And who it is meant to reach, it is going to reach. And that is, to me, the role of a pastor, is to just preach the word, not dictate, because we're all there by free will. God, Jesus Christ don't even dictate. He said we come by free will. It's by our choice. So you can't make anybody do anything. So preach the word, and the word won't come back void, and who is meant to reach, the word is going to reach.
I love what you're saying. I love what you're saying, because now it almost seems like I want to impose my will on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It coming across like that makes it seem like I'm trying to impose, you know, I'm trying to take over your will to force you to conform to how I am. But I don't even think about, like, my past. I forgot that when I was your age, I was doing worse than you. But now we begin to become judgmental. And don't you think that, Deborah, that happens in the church today? Maybe the scenario is not that bad. So talk to me, Deborah, about that.
Like, you know what? And I'm more radical, I guess, in my church. And I am about reaching the young people. And like I say, God reached out and touched me in a place where I was, okay? I was right where I was is where he reached me. And the young people, to me, if we want to draw them, we have to put more stuff in the church that is going to draw the young people. Now, I'm not saying go against what the word, always saying within the word of God, never going outside of the word. But we cannot impose our, because I'm older, I can't impose the way that or that I grew up. I'm telling you, or because the generation has changed. And so we have to look at the generation that we are trying to draw, and we want them to come, and we want them to love the Lord, and we want them to love coming to church. So we have to incorporate stuff that's going to draw them and going to want to make them come and love to be there. Because if we don't, if we still with this old-time stuff, these hymns that we sing, and nothing is wrong with it, I love a hymn. But sometimes we have to get into more than just a hymn to draw the young people. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So then, I don't know if you heard earlier when we gave the scenario about the young girl wearing a skirt that was so short. She sat on the front row. And then we had people, I mean, the ladies in the church, you know, and the men who are on oxygen already, you know, this is a distraction. If that's the only thing that young lady had. Talk to me, Deborah, about that. Then we're going to go on over
I love that. And I said this before on one of the shows, is that we are so judgmental in the church. Oh, my goodness. we are so, and we have to be so careful with that, and so careful with being in a clique, and so careful with gossiping about someone. There's a young woman in our church that, and she does, she wears her clothes so tight. We're so used to her. It don't even faze us anymore. Because we just, that's just her. It's her personality. But she has such a beautiful spirit. And to think, if all that we saw is what she wears, and we don't see past what she wears, we would have never saw that beautiful spirit, that beautiful soul that's there. Because she is so loving and so beautiful and so caring. And so, you know, that's her personality. She wears clothes. But if a woman has a short, give her a scarf. I mean, we have sheets. Take a sheet and put over her lap. I mean.
But do it in love, right? Do it in love.
And do it in love. It's just not that big of a deal to me. It really is.
Right.
If nothing ain't popping out and I see stuff, I'm okay with it.
We're going to actually stand by and love what you're saying, because things have got to be done in love, and it's not, I don't believe it's our job to be attacking people. I believe that's the Holy Spirit's job to convert people, because we forget where we were. And now, Lady C, I'm going to come at you. Lady C, are you there? I got another one. I'm coming at you now, Lady C. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Lady C, I'm this self-righteous preacher again now. Here I am. And Lady C, no, this time I'm the head deacon, right? But see, I used to be out there, and everybody knew I was out there because I got 14 baby mamas, right? 14 of them. But now I've given my life over, right? And now all of a sudden, you got this 19-year-old in the church. She already had one baby out of wedlock, and now she got the third one, okay? And I'm saying the first one is not even fully 4 years old yet. Now all the sisters are talking about her. And then, but the girl is constantly coming to church. Now, and you know, and I'm had enough as this deacon and saying, listen, girl, listen, we're going to put you before the church, and we're going to, what they call that, disfellowship you, okay? Because you out here doing stuff. Now, I got 14 baby mamas, okay? But I'm all of a sudden now I got this one wife in the church, okay? But now nobody knows that I'm hollering at this other sister in the church. But all of a sudden now, because my title, I'm head deacon, how do you feel about that? I mean, what about that girl's personal relationship with God? And I'm forgetting about my 14 baby mamas. Talk to me, Lady C.
I think Matthew 7:15 speaks of it. Matthew 17 says, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. That's all I'm going to say. Because I think that speaks for itself.
Amen.
So, should I go up there, and Monica, I'm going to bring you in a minute. Thanks for your patience. Janae, we're going to get back to you, Deborah as well. And I led the charge to have this little 19-year-old disfellowshipped from the church. Lady C, how you feel about that? We got to kick her out because she's a bad example to the other young people in the church.
He's judging, but he ain't looking at his own sin. You know? I mean,
Do anybody ever look at their own?
No, because we all sin. That's why we shouldn't have a judgment, folks, because we all sin.
That's the point. That's the point I want to make. No, we get in church, and all of a sudden, that day, we're holy. But it's like, you know, that sister whispered to me that I like over there. You know, she's like, when you going to call me? Girl, my wife is right in there sitting in the church. I told you I'm going to call you, like, Tuesday, okay? She's like, well, you don't call me Tuesday, I'm going to call you. You know, you see what I'm saying? But now I want to get up here publicly, and I want to disfellowship this young lady. We're going to ask you to stand by. Monica, let me bring you in here, Monica. Monica, thank you for your patience, Monica. Monica, a personal relationship. Monica, should we have this 19-year-old disfellowship from the church to bring her up there and humiliate this young lady?
Lord have mercy. What a beautiful discussion, and what great points, what great and important points that have been shared by Lady C and Deborah. Absolutely. the Bible said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. You see, this is why this program is so important to me, because as I'm listening, I realize had it not been for the mercies and the grace of God, I don't know where I would have been. I am trying to do to others as I would want them to do unto us. You know, some of us needs to take heed, because sometimes the people that are disfellowshipped, like the story where Jesus wrote on the ground, I'm telling you, some of these very people who are persecuting and condemning, they are involved in the whole act. But like Lady C said, you know, they are wolves in sheep clothing, but no sin go unpunished. Absolutely not. I don't even believe in disfellowshipping, because we are men. I believe in rules and regulations. I believe in principle. But listen, sometimes the very ones who call the meeting, they are involved in the story. May God help us and have mercy upon us. And like Deborah said, may we all study to show ourselves approved unto God and develop a personal relationship with him for ourselves.
Amen. You know, that is, I mean, what I'm hearing tonight from all of you all is so powerful. I hope this program is blessing all of us. It certainly is blessing me, because none of us, Lady C said it earlier, there's not one of us on this planet that's capable of judging anybody else. Because you know what? If Christ, like Monica just said, when he wrote in the sand, in the dirt, all the men had to disappear. Because no one is blameless. No one is faultless. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I love what Monica just said, because if it were not for his mercy and his grace, don't any of us know where we would be to this day. We're going to ask you to stand by. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you all are. I'm really getting blessed from this program tonight, because it's like, wow. You know, I have seen young ladies get disfellowshipped from the church, and I've never agreed with that policy. Because that might be the thing that keeps her from going to any church. Lady C, I got to bring you back in. I got to bring you in, because that can be a painful and embarrassing and humiliating thing to have someone. What if it was your child and the church has met and say, we got to, okay, because we're all so self-righteous. And then, you know, we're going to disfellowship this young woman. And that woman tells you, Mom, I'm never going to church again. What would that do to you, Lady C, if your own child
that'd
said that?
That'd break my heart, but I would sit down with my daughter, and I would explain to her that not all churches are the same. You know?
Right.
I sit down
mm-hmm.
and have a heart-to-heart with her. And I would encourage her to stay away from that church, but don't allow what those people tell her to dictate
right.
her future when it comes to other churches.
That's a good parent. You're a good parent to tell your child that. Deborah, I want to bring you in with the same question, Deborah. You know, it's your child, and they say this, and they're telling you, and you're on the committee. You're the head usher, and it doesn't matter. You're on the church board, and they say, Sister Deborah, we're going to have to let your child, we got to kick them out. That's what disfellowship means. Kick them out. And then once we kick her out, she can get rebaptized, and then we'll let her back in. But she got to go and stand before the church for her
mm-hmm.
For her sin.
Yeah. And I came out of a church, Missionary Baptist Church, that when we were growing up, and when a young girl, you know, a teenage girl would get pregnant, then she would have to stand before the church and apologize to the church. And I didn't agree with that back then. And I definitely don't agree with it now. Because anybody you should be icing, apologizing is God. That's a personal thing. Here we go with this personal thing again. That's personal. And we should be repenting daily, not just that sin, but for all the sin, because he say no sin is greater. You mm-hmm. can lie, and I know people think, well, I just lie. Well, I don't always tell the truth. It's still a sin. A sin is a right. sin, and we want to make sins a big sin and a small sin, and he says, no, it's all a sin. And so I don't agree, then I'll be like, okay, then you must want me to leave. Because nobody should be asked to leave the church. I mean, we should all be praying for one another, loving one another. If that person is doing something that is just egregious, then how about if we all just sit down and talk with this person and see if we can, you know, can talk it out. But just mm-hmm. to, like, kick them out the church, that's you have to remember, people volunteering coming to church. You want to come to church. Anybody making right. you come.
And I have seen this, and I've never seen the young man disfellowshipped. Never. It's like those
never.
Guys get a pass. Now,
yes.
explain that to me, Deborah. Explain that to me.
They do. That's because they think that, okay, because a woman is supposed to be, I guess, so prim and proper and don't do anything, and we just don't sin. Yeah, we do sin.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so when we're caught out there, then it's like, oh, wow, gosh, mm-hmm. look at her. But a guy can do it, and it's just a man thing. And I
right.
just never
exactly.
understood that.
Right, exactly. And it could be Deacon Jones' son. But because Deacon Jones is the head elder, ain't nobody saying nothing, and he goes with the girl. And
yeah.
now his father, Deacon Jones, has now told him, son, you can't be sitting with her in church. She's 6 months pregnant. You can't be sitting with her. I know you like her, son, but you know what? I don't want you sitting with her. It's going to embarrass this family, so don't you do it. Deborah, what do you say to that?
Deacon Jones need much prayer, and he needs to be sitting down. Somebody needs to see him over in the corner.
But Sister Jones is with him on that, his wife, because that's their child. So, and she's like, son, don't sit with her. Nope. But the boy says, Mom, you and her mom are friends. It don't matter, son. You're my son. It don't matter. I don't want you sitting with that girl in church, because everybody's going to be looking. And our family, you know how our family is. We got to uphold the righteousness of the family. So, Deborah,
I think
how
people
do you explain
forget,
that?
I think people forget the saying, there, but by the grace of God go I. I think people forget that. And I think mm-hmm. that people don't realize that the downfall that you're looking at somebody today may be your downfall tomorrow. And
Absolutely.
And so we are all striving to be better Christians and better people every single day.
Okay.
And I think people forget that.
I certainly agree with you. We're going to go to phone lines just a moment. We're going to go to 786-319. But first, ladies, I want to bring you back in with that scenario here. And we got some more that's coming in. And Deacon Jones, let's go back to Deacon Jones and Sister Jones and their son. So, Lady C, they're saying to him, same thing. Don't you sit with that woman's child. Don't you, But I know that's my friend's daughter. But, son, listen. Some things in life you just don't understand. You cannot bring shame to this family. If they see you sitting with her, they're going to say that's your child. But he says, Mom, it is my child. Son, listen to me. Listen to me clearly. Do not sit with that girl. Don't even be talking to her around there. But the young people don't feel that way. They accept each other. So what do you say, Lady C? Come on. The boy is like, sounds like my parents are being hypocrites. Talk to me, Lady C.
They are being hypocrites. They judgmental hypocrites.
What does
they
the young
like,
man do then? Go ahead. They feel like what?
I mean, that's going to be a, you know, that's that child being pushed against the corner. You know, you can't argue and fight against your mom and your dad. He's just gonna have to sneak around and, you know, still chit chat with the girl. You know, but still obey his parents. You know, but his parents are being hypocrites. It's just that he has to just look at the situation now. And when he gets older, once he gets older, he will learn from the situation and know not to treat people like that.
Wow, wow. We're going to ask you to stand by, Lady P. Let me go to 786-319. Welcome. Thank you for your patience. Who do we have with us?
Hello. Good evening, Dr. Walker, Lady C, Monica, and everyone on the call. This is Sister Marjorie.
Sister Marjorie, what is your thoughts tonight? I mean, I'm thinking about a personal relationship with God. It's just that. It's a personal thing. It's not everybody's business, is it, Sister Marjorie?
No, I think a personal relationship with God is speaking to him, you know, telling him all your personal problems, you know, and just praying to him and ask, you know, just talking to him. That's your personal relationship with him. As you said, it's not everybody to know. It's for you to talk to him and let him know what's going on in your life. You know, it's not for everyone to
right,
know
so
what's
going on. We're going to ask you to stand by.
Okay.
Jeanette, I want to bring you back in. Then we're going to bring Monica in. Jeanette, I mean, you know, some of these things, I mean, personally, can we ask God questions, Jeanette? Should we be able to ask him questions? Because I'm going to give you this first scenario that came in tonight. This person wrote in, and they said, let me find your comment here. They said, I grew up with the understanding that you cannot ask God questions. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents raised me that you can't ask God questions. So, I mean, Jeanette, what's that about? You can't ask God questions.
I don't know why they would do that, but you can. I feel, because I ask them questions all the time. In my relationship with God, when I'm talking to him, I pray, I talk to him all the time. And for need to know, I ask him, God, why, or should I, or is it going this way? I ask all type of questions to get directions. You know, you have to ask in order to receive what you need.
Yeah.
But it says, okay, so, and Deborah, I want to bring you in shortly, but first I'm going to go to Monica, then I'm coming there. But the Bible says, fear God. So what does that mean?
That don't mean to fear him to the point where you can't, you know, in your relationship with him, to talk with him. You know, you don't want to do nothing against him. That's what it means. Don't sin against him if you can, but, you know, don't go against God and his will and his commandments. So you fear him in that way where you don't want to go against him. But that don't mean you're too afraid to talk to him. No.
Wow. Monica, I want to bring you in, and I want to get your thoughts on that. Monica, do you tend to feel that same way? That, I mean, when people push this fear God, fear, you hear this all the time, fear God. And keep his commandments, boy, girl, fear God. You know, you're chewing gum in church. You're not fearing God. Okay? Stop talking in church. You're not fearing God. Monica, what's up with that?
I really just love how everything blends in so well, you know. I really want to thank God for this show. You don't really understand how God has used this show. Fearing God means you honor God, you adore God, you love God, you do whatever God asks you to do in his word. And because he's my father, I'm developing a relationship. How can a relationship be effective without good communication? Oh, yes. I do question my God. Sometimes I'm like, what am I doing wrong, God? Please, you know, just show me, because I'm just tired of going the wrong way. And if I cannot see, I'm going to continue. So my Father, who I fear so much, who I honor and adore so much, I do have some questions for him, and I do ask him.
Okay. So we are... You feel it is okay to ask God questions.
Oh, yeah.
Let me bring in, I think I said that I wanted to bring in Deborah next. And Deborah, I do want to bring you in here. And I want to bring this question to you here. And, I mean, we talk about the word. I'm going to go to phone lines again in a moment. But, Deborah, this thing where it's pushed on you, fear God. Don't you chew that gum in this church, boy. You're not fearing God. You know? And this is God's house. And don't you talk over there. When you got all them grown-ups over there talking and gossiping all throughout the service. Deborah, help me understand this.
But that's a rule. That's not a fear of God. Fear of God means to reverence Him, to reverence God. And I think in Isaiah it says, "Come, let us reason," that we can reason with Him, so that we can ask Him questions. We can question as to why. Now, we may not always like His answers, but He did say we can reason with Him. We can come together and talk with Him and reason with Him and ask Him why. And, you know, I'm like the other caller. I mean, I ask Him about a whole lot, why, you know. And sometimes I get an answer and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I just have to say, you know what, it's His will. And that's it. And I don't understand it. And I'm not going to understand everything. He said, we'll understand it better by and by. So, you know, when I get to heaven, questions that I wanted that I didn't get answers to, I ask them then. If it's even worth to even ask them, I'd just be glad I'm there. I guess I won't even think about questions. But he said we can reason. We can reason with
Him. And Deborah, I'm with you and the other callers as well. I talk to God every single day. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't talk to God. And I do ask a lot of questions. I won't even ask Him, God, can I talk to Adam and Eve, especially Adam, when I get there? And like, Adam, what were you thinking?
I know.
Adam and Eve. You know, because I'm even madder at Adam than I am Eve. I'm madder at him. And it's not because Adam partook of the fruit first. It's just I'm thinking, I mean, weren't you supposed to be doing something, Adam, like keeping it, protecting her? And so I'm saying, what are you thinking? You know, what were you
thinking? Why wasn't you on your post, Adam? Weren't you supposed to be on your post?
Exactly. Exactly. Adam, you got us all messed up down here. So... You know, so I know that I believe God has a sense of humor because, I mean, the stuff that I find myself having a communication with God, and I laugh with them, and I laugh sometimes, and that's like, God, please forgive me, I'm just joking, you know, I'm just joking on this one, God, but I really would like to know why. I mean, some things, you know, I do, and some serious things. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're almost out of time, you all, before Lady C closes us out. Let's go to 407-862. Welcome to the program tonight. Who do we have? And thanks for your patience.
Yes, this is Sister Marva. Good night, Dr. Jesse and everyone.
Good night. Sister Marva, what are your thoughts?
About asking God?
Yes.
Of course we can ask God. There are so many examples in the Bible of the patriarchs asking God. Let's say the story of David when they came and raided his city and took all his wives and children, and he cried for like 3 days. And the Bible said after he stopped crying, he asked God. He asked the priest to bring him the ephod, and then he could ask God. He said, Lord, should I pursue them or should I not? And the Lord answered him and said, most certainly go right ahead and pursue them because you will surely recover everything. And he did. So we must ask. And then in the New Testament, when Jesus was getting ready to go, he said to his disciples, you know, whatever I have is yours, and whatever you ask the Father of me, I'll give it to you.
Okay, all right. Okay, so we can ask. Sister Marvel, we're going to ask this. All right, we're going to ask. Go ahead. Your phone is going in and out. I'm sorry, your phone is going in and out. I don't know why. All right, we're having some technical difficulty there. We're going to put her on. All right, let me go here. Lady C, Have you ever gotten frustrated in your personal relationship with God, Lady C? And you can certainly pass this one if you don't want. When it's like you're asking him something and it's like he's out to lunch. I mean, I've gotten really frustrated myself. And it's like, God, you know, you must be out to lunch. Because, I mean, I've been asking you this question for like a long time. And I'm always doing it, trying to do it humbly and respectfully. It's like, you know, God, I'm just wondering if you're on a lunch. You know, because it don't seem like you're listening to me, God, and I need your help. Lady C, has that ever happened to you? Or am I by myself out here? Deborah, same question for you.
No.
But Lady C first.
Yes, it has happened to me. I felt like I was being ignored by God, or he just wasn't hearing me, you know?
So, I mean, what do you do? I mean, how do you find the hope and the patience to keep going?
I still pray, you know? And I still have faith. You got to have that faith as a mustard seed.
Right. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Jeanette, we know you're there. We're going to come back in a minute. I got several more of these before Lady C closes out. Deborah, I need to know from you, and Monica, we're going to get to you in a moment. Deborah, has this ever happened to you and you're like, God, I've been praying, and I'm not getting an answer? I keep crying, God, because, I mean, for me personally, you all, and no offense to anybody, but I want to share this with you. When I'm seeing some injustices, I mean, for the last month, I cried several times. And I'm asking God, why is this happening to certain groups of people? God, I mean, why does this keep happening? And it brings tears to my heart and pain to my spirit and my soul. And I keep crying. Deborah, I mean, and I'm saying, God, every time I turn around, it's happening again. And I don't understand it, God. We're your children, too. Deborah, have you ever been there?
Absolutely. And I'm there with you now with all the stuff that you keep, you know, you turn on the TV and it's another, you know, black African male that's been shot and killed. And I'm asking God, why? I'm like, okay, why? And what is it that they don't see in us? I mean, what is it that we have to do for you to see me and to see that, you know, I'm a person and I have feelings and I have a family and I have sons just like you. And I'm asking God, you know, why? When will they see us? And so, yeah, that's the question. And I get frustrated and I don't have an answer. And God hasn't answered me. And all I know is that I have to keep praying and keep believing and keep trusting. And my faith is in God. No matter what it looks like to me on the outside, God sees everything. He sees the inside and the outside. And I can't see everything that he sees. And so I just think that I just feel and believe that I'll understand it. One day I'm going to understand it all. But right now, yeah, I question. And I'm like, God, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. Because I don't know.
Right. So you have been there as well. So you know what I'm saying. We're going to actually stand by Deborah. Jeanette, I want to bring you in. Jeanette, it's a personal relationship. But then, you know, where will the trust come? You know, and I heard what Lady C said. She said, you got to keep on praying. You got to keep on, you know, believing and trusting. Keep the faith. But it's like when you see these things, Jeanette, and, you know, it keeps repeatedly happening. It's like somebody is deflating your spirit. Jeanette, how do you expect to keep the faith? What can you tell our audience, you know, with this personal relationship with God, that there is hope? Jeanette.
Well, I just wanted to throw out my personal thing about keeping the faith. I had a house that was on the market for a year and a half. And I prayed, Lord, I need to sell this house. Why is it taking so long? I keep throwing money into this house. And, you know, God came to me and he just said, be still. Peace, be still. Trust me. Keep the faith. Everybody, why you sold your house? Da, 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 da. I'm like, I said, then I had to say, in time, in God's time. And lo and behold, it took a year and a half to sell my home. I got more money for it. The person loved the home and the house I'm in now came available. So it took a long time, but you just have to keep that faith and keep trust and just wait. Wait on him. It'll come at the right time. So whatever, you know, you're praying for, don't think it to happen right then. It'll come at the right time. So that's my personal testimony on that.
Okay, so Jeanette, the right time, how about 400 plus years? And we're going to actually stand by on that one. Deborah, let me come back to you. The right time, 400 plus years, Deborah? Is there really some hope for me to believe that 400 something years, we don't even live that long, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's still reason to keep faith, you know, and keep trusting and believing. God's time is not our time, and we just have to realize that his timing is not like our time. And we may want something to happen instantly. And I know you're saying, well, 400 years. And so we have to keep focusing that God is who he says he is, and he is real. And if we just keep, we sang a song, we've come this far by faith. You know the song, old song.
Yes.
We have come this far by faith. And
lean
so I believe
that.
Leaning on the Lord.
Right. Yes, we grew up singing that one. We're going to ask you all to stand by. And you know, and Deborah, I do. Even after I stopped the crying and my head hurts for days, you know, until the next time and I cry again, I still say, God, I'm going to trust you where I can't trace you. I'm just going to trust you because you're all I've got. And that's like Lady C and all of you all are saying, we just got to keep on believing and believing and believing. Even if it's not in our time, we just got to keep believing because, I mean, it's like that's what we know. We got to take some more of these scenarios, you all, and we're almost out of time before Lady C closes out. I want to get some of them, and Sister, let's bring Sister Marva back in and give her an opportunity. Sister Marva, just briefly here with this comment, that scenario is, just like you may question your parents, I think we should be able to ask God questions because he is the ultimate parent. That's just my opinion. Okay, Sister Marva, should we be able to just ask God just like we ask our parents?
Yes. We can ask God because, as I was saying, that Jesus said to his disciples, you can ask me anything and you can have it, but so far you haven't asked me anything. So he was encouraging them to ask. He says, I've been with you 3.5 years, and I'm getting ready to leave you. You haven't asked anything of me. So
okay. That's
my take on it. Yes, we can ask. We don't always get the answer that we want, but we can ask.
All right, we're going to ask
and
you
as
to stand by.
And as the sister said before, she said, in Isaiah, he says, let's reason together, you know. So that's like asking and talking.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Sister Marva. I want to now go ahead. Sister Marjorie, I want to bring you in for this next one here. And this scenario says, if God is our Father, then we should be able to ask him anything. Anything? That's deep. Sister Marjorie, how do you feel about that? Should we be able to ask him anything?
Yes, I believe that. You know, like whatever is bothering you, you should be able to talk to him because I talk to him every time. You know, and no matter what problem it is, I'll tell it to him. And just wait for his response. And as you say, just continue to have faith in him and believe in him no matter what happens. But I do tell him anything. Yes, you should be able to tell him anything. Yes, and I do.
All right. All right, Jeanette, I want to go to you on this one here, on this scenario. And it says here that I feel like when you pray to the Father, you have to ask for the things that you specifically want. Otherwise, how do you expect to get them? Do you think there's any truth to that, Jeanette?
I think you have to be clear. Well, I think it's best if you can be as clear as possible on what you're asking for instead of being vague. But God's going to answer your prayer in the way he thinks is best for you. But, you know, it's best to be clear if you can, clear to him as to what you want.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Monica, do you think that we need to pray specifically for things? Monica?
I totally agree that we should be specific in our prayers, because if we really want them to be answered, then, you know, we got to be sure in our prayers, you know, most definitely.
Okay. Lady C, what do you think? I mean, if you pray for something and it hasn't come in 3, 4, 5 months, and you've been praying for this thing specifically, do you have to keep praying and trying to pressure God? Can you even pressure God?
You can't pressure God. You know, God's ways are not our ways. But you can keep praying, but you just got to understand, you know, what we want for ourselves, God may not want for us.
You know, I like what you're saying, and you keep on praying. But I think sometimes maybe we misinterpret what prayer is. Maybe the prayer that God wants is that personal relationship where we're like for me, example me, and I can't tell anybody else what to do, but my personal relationship means I'm talking to God every day. I talk to him every single day as if I was talking to a friend, and in some cases it's a parent. You know, some cases it's the comforter. In some cases, it's everything. He's my everything. Whatever my needs are, I'm going to him for those because he understands me better than anybody else because he created me. So my prayer is a prayer of meditation where it's ongoing, praying without ceasing. It's like I never stop praying. And it's like, God, here we go again. God it's hot, God, but I love it. I'm not complaining about your weather, Father. But I love it, but it's really hot. You know, God, it's raining. I got to go to the store, but I'm going anyway, and I'm just asking for your protection out here because some people don't drive. Sometimes I don't drive as good as I should, but I'm asking for your protection. So it's ongoing. You know, Deborah, I want to bring you in. But before I bring Deborah in, Monica, do you do anything like that where you're talking to God all the time?
All day long. All day long, wake up in the night and I'm asking God to please, God, help me to trust you that I can understand your plan and your will for my life. One of my favorite texts you just mentioned, pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. Most definitely, God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. We've got to trust him for us. Or shall we not bear? Woo, you know it. Listen, I just thank God for this evening's program. I was carried away, but the Holy Spirit brought me back just in time to be refreshed and be blessed. And I pray this program will grow from strength to strength and continue to touch many lives.
Amen. Thank you for that. Just before Lady C closes up, Deborah, I want to bring another scenario in, and this was when I was a young girl, my parents did not like me questioning them about things that I did not understand. They simply said, do what I tell you to do, and that's all that matters. So it has made me have a fear of asking God anything. Deborah, what do you say to that person?
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up like that too. You just didn't question, you know, the grown people. You didn't, as a child, you just didn't question. You just did, you know, what they have said you do. But the Bible says when I was a child, I spake as a child. So I'm no longer a child. And so he says that I can reason with him. And so this is what you tell a kid. He says that you can come to him with all of your problems. He says, give all of your cares to him. That's what he says. He tells us that. Give them to him. and he will bear them. And so, therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I can come to him, and I can question. And I just want to say this. Some of my biggest mistakes that I have made is when I've been praying to God, and I don't wait for him for an answer. Because he don't come in my time, and I'm thinking, okay, he ain't gonna answer, or he, you know, I can just do what I want. And those have been some of the biggest mistakes that I have made in my life. Y'all, I've been praying for a while because I desire to have a husband. I've been divorced for 20 years. I desire, but I'm not gonna put myself out there just to get a husband because I'm gonna still maintain my relationship with God, and in due time, I think he's gonna bring somebody that's just for me. So I've learned to wait on him and not to go past him and try to let him catch up with me. Because we'll do that sometimes. Okay, God, I made this decision. Now you come on and catch up with me. See, that don't work with God. That ain't work.
Okay. All right. I'm with you on that. Jeanette, let me give you this one here, and then we'll close the show out. This one says, in the Bible, there are stories where Jesus asked some people, what is it that you would have me do for you? That's an inference that he wants you to ask him a question or tell him what you wanted. So, and this goes also with the other scenario. Even in human form, Jesus asked the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Deborah, I want you to speak to that one just briefly. But first, Jeanette, and I know we're out of time, but this is worth hearing. Jeanette, how do you respond to this one? Even in the Bible, there are stories where Jesus asked some people, what is it that you would have me do for you? That's an inference that he wants you to ask him a question or tell him what you wanted. How do you interpret that, Jeanette?
Exactly. He is asking you to do that because he knows that you have that relationship with him. He wants you to ask him. And some people are afraid to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Ask.
Okay, I like that. Deborah, and then, ladies, he will close out. Deborah, I want you to speak briefly to this one. Even in human form, Jesus asked the Father on the cross, why hast thou forsaken me? If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Speak to that, Jeanette. I mean, Deborah. Because it shows that our personal relationship with God, we can't ask him questions. Talk to us about that.
Mm-hmm. And it shows that God came down in the human form. He was us. He felt just like we felt. He felt things like we felt. And his thing was, you know, God, I don't want to do this, but it's your will. But
right.
If it be anything, take it from me, but it's your
right.
will. And so we have to, you know, we ain't got there yet, but we're working on it to be like Jesus and saying,
right.
you know what, God, it is your will. It is about you. This walk is not about me. It is all about you. And in this walk with him, he gives us grace and he gives us mercy. And he wants us to live a good life and a happy life because that's what his desire is. But his desire is that we recognize who he is, that he is the Father. He is the King. And I reverence this to him. And so, therefore, it is about him, and it's not about me. And I learned that a long time ago. It just isn't about me, but it is all about him.
All right. Lady C, you've got the final word. Close us out.
All right. In my opinion, when it comes to asking God, you know, what you need, just ask him. Because in Matthew 7:7, you know, the Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So in a way of what I'm reading in this scenario is whatever you need God to do, ask him. Knock on the door. Tell him what you need. Whatever, if it's of his will, he will give it to you. And that's how I'm closing everybody out.
All right. Awesome. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We're so grateful that you all stayed with us this evening. Listen, we'll be back here tomorrow morning for the International Divine Intervention Day. That program starts at 6:30, from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Just 2 hours. If you come on after 7, you're still on time. But listen, you don't want to miss tomorrow's program. It's a dedication to mothers, you know, so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a powerful where about favor, you know, favor of mothers. It's a dedicated program to mothers, so you don't want to miss that, 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, you can join us next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational programming. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
good night,
Dr. everybody.
Walker.
Good night, Dr. Walker.
And good night, everyone.
Good night.
Great show. Thank you all. God bless you all. Keep well.